Self-care. It's such a deep layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in. Hello. Hello, hello. Oh my gosh, I am so excited to sit down and record this episode. It is the first episode, obviously, and I have decided to re-record it after I've been recording actually now for a few months, getting this on the roll, and I just went back and listened to the first episode that I had recorded, and I was like, there's no way I could put this out. I was really, really freaking nervous, and I've just become way more comfortable with this whole process of recording. And so I've decided to go back and re-record, and I do hope that you get a lot of enjoyment out of this episode. I'm going to be diving into our definition of self-care, why I'm here, what to expect from the podcast, and then I kind of, trying to keep it as low-key as possible, I literally wrote up a timeline of, like, my life from 2009 to 2020. It's like, I just feel like I just did a whole nother year in review. It's January 2020 at the time of this recording. I'm just like, whoa, okay. I hope that you guys actually want to hear about all this. I am the type of person that really loves hearing the insights of people's lives and where they've been. And it just fascinates me to hear the unfolding and the stories. A lot of you have asked me about it. You want me to talk about it more, who I used to be, what I used to do. And so I'm just going to go through some things. Obviously there's different timelines that I get very intimidated about. I'm like, well, do I talk more? I mean, like there could be a timeline for my eating habits and my dating life and my spiritual unfolding and my physical fitness journey, and you know, so whatever, we'll get to it when we get to it. Why don't we just start with our definition of self-care first? That would be a great place to start. So this is a definition that I have come to cultivate as the kind of self-care brand, self-care creature brand has unfolded, and this is it. Is that self-care is synonymous with self-compassion, and it is a lifelong commitment of continually choosing to show up for yourself. A lifelong commitment of continually choosing to show up for yourself, which is not a linear path, to know what you need, what best serves you, and how to honor your well-being without sacrificing your health or your worth, so that you can show up as you truly are in this world and be there with and for the people and or the beings that you care about. There's nothing dazzling or limiting about this. It's true inner work for an honest peace of mind, which leads to a high quality life. We are all capable of this. So that is truly what this podcast is about. As you heard me say in the intro, there are so many layers to this shit. And it's often stupid, simple shit. And we're just going to get away, mostly be getting away from the glamour and the ideas that you have to plan out specific days and like have all this special time for yourself in order to quote unquote self-care. And yeah, I mean, I love a good spa day. I fucking love spa days. And so maybe there will be some talk about the glamour and glitz and all that in there. I'm gonna be careful with glitz because I'm not a big glitzy person. But you know what I'm saying. I might talk about some of this like fancy stuff that you might think of self-care when you hear it, stereotypically, but this podcast is beyond that. We're bringing it back to basics, like super basics, particularly accepting what is. Accepting what is the reality of life, of what is, and being ourselves, our authentic, weirdo, silly selves, which is intimidating AF. So let's just dive into some of these layers real quick, tease this out, because I refer to a self, this like whole thing as like cultivating a self-care lifestyle, adopting a self-care lifestyle. And it truly is healing trauma, shadow work, conscious living, holistic lifestyle, boundary setting, cultivating awareness, meditation, yoga, fitness, body positivity, inner child work, reparenting, like, oh my god, the list could go on forever. And what I've learned through this journey of life is that everything is so deeply and intricately connected that it just ends up bleeding out into all areas together. Like, you can't really work on one thing without it going into another thing. You can't focus on one thing without it affecting the entire web. That's just the way this life works. And it's awe-inspiring. It's really cool. And so, you know, we will definitely be getting into the science behind all of it. A lot of this is all based in like neuroscience and psychology and sticking to hard facts and the way that we are literally changing our physiological and psychological well-beings. But what I am most excited to bring you in this podcast is the spirit connection. Like, I had no idea that going on this journey, this inward journey of getting to know myself better, would lead to this like spiritual awakening, unfolding of being like, holy shit, everything is connected. And, you know, the universe is abundant and I am loved. And like, yeah, it does sound pretty fluffy, but I'm finally at a fucking place in my life where I'm ecstatic that I do feel that way about life. But I can walk us, I can walk myself, I can walk people, everyone across this bridge between the science and the spiritual. Because you can have both. It's just magical. I use the term magical a lot, meaning two things. First of all, for me, magic is like the synchronicities and the flow and the quote coincidences and that kind of cool shit. That like the way the world flows when we are living in our life path, that is magical. But I also use magical as like, ooh, it's really cool type term. So I'm sure you'll be able to decipher which is which when it comes up. Most of all, I'm just really excited to be able to explore together with you. I feel incredibly honored to be able to be in this space. And mostly, you know, this has been something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, but it is also something that was very highly encouraged by you, my community members, of just being like, go out and get it. Like, I want to hear this shit, do it. And so here I am. But I just want to remind you always that I am a real human being over here that does not have my shit together, and we are on this journey together. We are exploring together. And with that, I just want you to know that there is always an open invitation for you to please reach out and talk to me about anything that comes up, but particularly in terms of triggers or saying things that are offensive. Or, you know, the scariest part of this podcast is knowing that I am likely going to say some shit, or there are going to be opportunities that come up to have really hard conversations on topics that I know nothing about, or that I really need and want to expand my consciousness on. And I mean, that's intimidating as fuck, but I am here for it. And I want you to feel comfortable to reach out. I want to create a space where we can have these hard conversations and get to know each other better. And a lot of these podcasts in the beginning are going to be me just talking shit about not bad shit, like the good shit, but just spewing off stuff about like my life and the things that you guys want to know that are very specific about self-care and adopting this lifestyle. But eventually, I do want to bring in other people to have bigger conversations because there's no way I can hold space for these bigger conversations and topics that I don't know anything about. Like, that's literally just, there's no way I could do that. So eventually there will be interviews. Right now, it's just a me. So what to expect from this podcast, just to let you know, it's pretty much unscripted. I do have some notes, because of my ENFP life. If anybody is into Myers-Briggs or personality tests in general, okay, here's the lowdown on what's up with me. I'm an ENFP. I am an Enneagram 7, Wing 8, so I'm like a strong-headed entertainer that likes to avoid pain at all costs and believes that we just need to keep on moving into the good things. But, there's the shadow side of that as well, and needing to learn to be comfortable in sitting in discomfort and not distracting myself constantly. In human design, I am a generator. Human design is honestly the one like personality type thing, tool thing that just didn't resonate with me very much. I couldn't get into it. But yeah, I'm a non-specific manifesting generator if you are into human design. I think those are all the personality tests that I need to mention. I'm a Pisces. Can't forget astrology. The more I learn about astrology, the more my mind is blown. I actually had my first astrology reading in l this last summer, 2019, and it was like literally, I mean, of course, it flowed, like all these little synchronicities and coincidences showed up for me to be able to have this amazing reading with this girl who it was clearly her language. Like, she was channeling the stars. Like, she just understood all this stuff. She like wrote it down. It looked like another language. But the thing that vibed with me the most is that she told me things about my life that I have always felt that I have never been able to put into words. And then it was like she was like translating for me, practically, is what it felt like. So, I started out I started out in my life in general very cynical, skeptical. I mean, I guess that's like how I be like my teenage years, which is a lot of people's teenage years. Because when I think of being a child, of course, I was so open-minded and curious and excited. And I had bits of that as a teenager, but cynical and skeptical are two big things that have stayed with me. And sarcastic, those are have like been coats of armor for me throughout my life for so long. So yes, I am a Pisces. Oh yes. So what is that? Pisces sun. I'm a Sagittarius moon and a Cancer rising. So I've got like a huge caretaking, or is rising the right word? Whatever. I'm not sure. But I've got huge caretaking abilities. Yes, abilities, but tendencies as well in my chart. And speaking of tendencies, have you ever taken Gretchen Rubin's The Four Tendencies quiz? Because I am a questioner. A lot of people think that I'm a rebel, but I hardcore lean rebel. So I'm part rebel, and I identify very deeply as a rebel because once I read that book and started listening to those tendencies, I was like, holy shit, that's me. And I do this shit to myself all the time. I can catch myself when I am talking myself out of something because I'm trying to tell myself to do something. Like, that is how much of a rebel I am. I don't want to be told what to do, even if it's from myself. I'm like, whoa, if that's not some shit. But a questioner questions everything. I am not going to move forward with it something unless I feel like it is worthy of my time. I don't care it, who's telling me to do it, if it's an authority figure or not. I need reason, good reason that feels like a good reason to me to be able to move forward, or else I'm just going to question everything. And that also us questioners tend to have a very researchy side where we want to do all this research and gather all the tools and make sure that we are, you know, like we're questioning our path forward and we want to make sure that we are moving forward in the best direction. And I can do that to myself as well. But mostly all this personality stuff has been really enjoyable for me to find what resonates so that I can continue to become like my highest self and continue getting to know myself better. And I guess you could say in some way ways they are their own self-care tools. But the trick is with all this shit, as always, and everything in life, is to not suddenly become completely identified with it so deeply. Like, oh yeah, I'm a Pisces, so I don't do that. Or, well, yeah, I'm a Pisces, what do you expect? You know, and nothing against y'all out there doing that, but I'm gonna call you on your shit and kind of make you question it. Like, you can't be using this stuff as a caveat. You gotta use it to get to know yourself better. Okay, that was all of a sudden, you know, huge, huge side story there. Classic ENFP status for just saying an unscripted. You can expect this shit to be unscripted. But I use notes to keep myself on track because I need it. Oftentimes I get excited, I talk really fast, and I tend to make up words. That is definitely something that I do from time to time, so it will be fun to see what happens together in this time. I also stutter sometimes. Yeah, that's just the thing. Stuttering. You can expect some stuttering and making up words, especially when I get excited. There you have it. Oftentimes, too, this is happening less and less as I smoke a bit less weed, we will say, but I often lose my train of thought, which is another reason why I need the notes. Forget what I'm saying. And even though over the last few months I have learned a lot when it comes to editing my podcast, I honestly don't really enjoy editing my podcast that much. I can see where there are like big pauses and gaps, and if I do stutter a ton and go with like no sound in there for like more than 5 to 10 seconds, I might go in there and cut that clip out. But otherwise, you guys are totally getting like a raw, unfiltered version of me. So don't you worry. And the next bullet point I have here. So basically, you're getting the whole package of me. And I have a feeling that that's probably like about 92% of why you're here. So dope. Why did I start this podcast? As I had mentioned, I've been wanting to start a podcast for a while, and the big catalyst for me was basically when the universe was like, yeah, bitch, better get started, we're going in. And that's how the universe does it sometimes. But it's usually, what I mean by that is like things flow. It wasn't really planned. I had a community member, Mo. Hi, Mo. Reached out to me and was like, have you even listened to the other self-care stuff out there? Did you know that there is nobody talking about self-care on podcasts? Like, I need new, updated, modern shit, and I want to hear you talking about it. Which was super flattering. Thank you, Mo. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, no, I haven't really listened or looked into that. And then another person, who I'm sorry I did not write down your name, I just remember them. They were like, I was just looking for podcasts similar to your IG stories, and which is like still gives me goosebumps. And I'm just like, what? And so through these series of events, I remembered that I had a podcast course from Jenna Kutcher that I had invested in a while. She was doing this crazy dope deal, bundle of a package, and I bought it and I completely forgot about it. And so I did this little test for myself when this started coming up. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like watch a couple of little episodes from her course and see what starting a podcast is about. Because I also kept hearing other people like Steph Godreau and Amy from Rebel Nutrition like all of those badass bitches that are like, just do it, just fucking do the thing. You want to do it? Just do it. You're never going to be ready. It's never going to be the right time. And so that's also felt really inspiring. So I decided to do the test. I'm just going to watch a couple videos, see what it's all about. How do you actually do this shit? And if I'm going to notice, like, does this actually fill me up? Do I enjoy putting this together? Does it feel excitement? Do I feel excitement? Or is this just like another thing on my to-do list that like is kind of feels like a drag? Because you just never know. And I want to have fun doing whatever it is that I put on my plate. I've decided to the best of my ability. Obviously, that's why I'm here. I want to be enjoying my business. So when I tried this out, literally all of a sudden, it was like 2 or 4 hours went by and I had watched every video in the entire podcast. I had put together some mock-up images. I had polled the audience, you guys, the community. And I was just like, I was fired up. I was fucking fired up about it. I was like, oh my God, am I actually going to do this? And literally just talking about it right now is just getting me so excited, sending all kinds of tingles through my body. Ooh, and yawns, apparently. Ooh, okay. But anyway, I loved the feedback. I loved the feedback that I got from you guys, and you all sounded really excited. And I even put up, and it is still up on my website right now, but I put up a place for you guys to fill out a form and tell me what you want to hear. And I have been taking notes from the get-go. So that's kind of how it was born. Oh, and then an old client slash friend, a previous client slash friend, was like, hey, I've been wanting to start a podcast, but the timing hasn't been right. You should take all of this equipment that I invested in and use it to start your podcast. It was a mic with a pop screen and an arm. I am not technically savvy with this shit, but that was also another huge thing where I was just like, no way. Like, I've been told that I should do this. I literally can feel the excitement in my body. And now, out of nowhere, I'm being gifted a freaking microphone to get started. It was crazy. And that's how you know. That's how you know when things are flowing. When I say you're in flow or magic, is that shit just happens out of nowhere. It's like, oh, somebody just has a mic for you. Like, oh my God. Things that you couldn't ever even, you couldn't plan it for yourself. You could never plan it for yourself. So trying to notice where things flow easefully, that's like a big key takeaway in life for following your life's purpose and practice. I'm just getting over a tiny bit of a sickness while I have this, so I really hope that I'm not, like, snorting into the microphone too much with this slightly runny nose that I have. But I'm detoxing. I'm getting everything out, so it's actually a good thing. Okay, let's talk about what my goals are for this podcast. I want to, my big goals, big picture goals, I want to change the definition of self-care. I don't just want people to think about bubble baths and, you know, girl time and special time that we take out of our daily living to cultivate this relationship with ourselves. And through changing this definition and changing this lifestyle, I truly believe that we're changing the way that we show up in the world. And once all these folks, us folks, can understand the ease and accessibility of adopting this lifestyle, just as I was explaining the ease of the podcast coming through, it's like all these little things come into place. And once you can understand this, like, it's literally imperative to our world today, because it's how we form connection. It's how we become better people. It's how we listen and make waves for change instead of having anger and violence and all of this other shit. So, and I really do believe that small, like, all business owners in some way, shape, or form have a idea to like have a drive to make an impact and to change the world. And that's mine. Mine's mine. Adopt a self-care lifestyle. Change the relationship you have with yourself. Change the relationship you have with the world. It's a mighty one. We'll just say that. I also want to cultivate and grow real authentic community in this space of adopting a self-care lifestyle. Because again, it's vulnerable AF. It's uncomfortable, and we need to cultivate a space where people can feel comfortable talking about the things that they may not know a lot about, or even talking about things that they disagree about, because that's another reality in the world. We're not going to get along all the time. We're not going to share the same views all the time, but you can still love and respect somebody despite that. So, cultivating and growing real, authentic community. I also want to talk a bit more. Blah, blah, blah. I want to talk a bit more about social media and encouraging social media boundaries and logging off. That has become something that has is very, very important in my life. And it's like even lately, actually, the last week, I've been feeling just how clingy I am to my device. And social media is just addicting. They're like it's legit addicting. And I'm becoming into a place where I can really recognize where I'm drawn into it more and where I have trouble putting down my phone. And then I go through these cycles where I'm like, okay, hard boundaries. I'm logging off. I'm not going to be on my phone for at least a full day, maybe 2 days. And it always feels so good and so freeing. And I mean, like literally, I bless the children out there who did not grow up without social media, but I remember those days and they were special. And I refuse to forget them. And I believe that it is also imperative to our world to have real life connections and not just be on our phones all the time and not be thinking about, oh, I'm going to take this picture to post. I'm going to take this picture. What can I say as a caption? And because, like, the way that it's getting into our mind and disrupting us, this true, deeper, genuine connection that we can have. I mean, social media is good for some things, but there just needs to be boundaries, and I'm clearly very passionate about that. Another thing that I want to bring more attention to and talk about, especially as I'm exploring it more in my own life, is living with nature. I mean, she is like the teacher of connection and growth, literally, legitimately. And we need to keep nature in balance with our physiological beings because we are creatures of nature. Coming back to that, accepting what is in life, we are creatures of nature. So I feel this calling to, because the question again is, what are my goals for this podcast? And to just continue following my heart and following the calling and answering the call, I guess would be another way to put it. And yeah, so just showing up as myself, being more myself, sharing more of myself, because especially even though it's really freaking intimidating, and of course, I have imposter syndrome too. I'm like, bitch, who you think you are? You just want to have a podcast and talk about yourself and what you do all the time? Well, me being in this space gives you permission to be in a space like this too. And it gives you permission to show up as yourself and to be more you in the world, which is what we need. We need more people being completely themselves in the world. So that's a huge motivation for me to have this podcast, is knowing that it helps you, which is, yeah, woo, crazy. So I just wanted to read a couple things. This is another huge drive behind wanting to share this podcast and get my work out into the world more, is that I have a yoga student and a newsletter recipient that sent me this message once, and it just warms my heart. Kind of brings tears to my eyes and gives tingles all over my body. But she says, "Your words help me remember my true nature and ways to love myself and the world around me." Your words help me remember my true nature and ways to love myself and the world around me. And I'm gonna be cheesy with it, but if I know that I could do that with just one person, like I'm gonna be showing up. And I've clearly already done that with at least one person. And I get overwhelmed on the daily with the amounts of messages I have from people coming in just telling me the differences that I make in their day. And that inspires me so much to be here because I know that if I can make a difference in your day and encourage you to show up and make a difference in your own day, like, damn, we changing the world, y'all. We changing the world. So I wrote up this in my bio. I don't even remember when this next part that I'm about to say. And it's kind of become this like coined term. When I interviewed with Amy over at Rebel Nutrition last month, December 2019, she brought up this quote that I have in my bio. And then since I've had a couple other people kind of coin it from me or quote me from it. And so, anyway, I'm okay with being quoted for this. Let's move into it. I'm babbling. So, true success or a deeply fulfilling life comes from knowing ourselves intimately, and from that space is where we can start to change the world. And here's how. When we can practice patience with ourselves, we can practice patience with others. And when we can understand why we are getting angry or experiencing triggers, we can communicate better and therefore have a better support system because the people around us who love us want to show up for us and support us. But we need to be able to communicate better. We need to be able to hold more vulnerable space. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing it. So thanks for listening. Okay, I'm gonna try and rush through this timeline of mine. Not too fast, I guess. But I don't know. I really hope that you find this fascinating and interesting. But here we go. 2009, okay? I graduated high school in 2008, by the way. So in 2009, okay, we'll just go from high school. 2008, I graduated high school in my tiny town, Skagit Valley, Burlington, Washington, and I moved to Seattle right away. And then in 2009, I decided to move to Portland, Oregon from Seattle to go to culinary school, which I did, and it was Le Cordon Bleu. And I had never seen a commercial for Le Cordon Bleu. I knew nothing about it. I just knew that a bunch of my friends were going to school in Portland. I went and had a tour of the facility. It felt right, and I decided to do it. Also, with encouragement from my grandmother, who is like my guiding light and my savior in my life. I love my grandmother, and I am so forever indebted with gratitude to that woman. She is amazing and so generous and so kind and so supportive. Ah, I can't say enough about her. But anyway, okay. I have to minimize the note to self. I have to minimize these side stories if we're gonna get through this in a timely manner. Moved to Portland from Seattle for culinary school. I graduated from culinary school the following year in 2010. In 2011 is when I feel like I really started to get serious about my health goals. I was 21. I wanted to look good naked. I lost 15 pounds in one summer. And I really started to become super motivated about wanting to help others. And it was in the fall of 2011 that I decided to enroll in this hands-on 6-month personal training program. The nutritional, or no, not nutritional, National Personal Training Institute of Portland. And so that was all about functional training, injury prevention, postural movement, Olympic lifts, all that kind of stuff, which was really cool. And then fast forward 6 months later, March 2012, I graduated from that school. I started getting more into Olympic lifting. I actually started, it was during my personal training years that I met who I called my Derby mom, who who played roller derby and kind of helped me get all my gear together and learn how to start skating. And I kind of took that up a notch in 2012 when I moved to Seattle. I joined their potential fresh meat roller derby team. It's still going today. It's a really awesome, completely volunteer-based, I don't think it's league is the right term, but just like a group for people that want to learn how to skate and learn in a very safe environment and learn the rules of the game and all of that. So in March 2012, I moved, not in March actually, but in March I graduated. Later that year, I moved back to Seattle. I started working full time as a personal trainer. I got certified through NASM in October of that year, and I also started seeing my naturopathic doctor that year, for like a nagging type shoulder injury, and he was the first person ever that ever put a bug in my ear about nutrition being related to food. And this is the same doctor who has now kind of become my mentor over all of these years later. In 2013, I, as shared on Instagram recently, it was my year of running. Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah, it was my year of running. And so I think the first month I did a 5K, second month I did a 10K, by March I did a 15K, and I was training to do a half marathon in April, but then I was also in, I think it was March or April, I was also skating 5 days a week because I was working my fucking ass off to get drafted and get on a roller derby team. At this point, I had become a cadet for the Jet City Roller League. That's their like new meet newbies group. And so I got drafted. I did get drafted in June of 2013. Also that year, that May, my longest relationship ever ended, and pretty much exactly right on the 4 year mark, which was wild. Let's see, that fall I started eating meat again. I was actually a vegetarian from 2008 to 2013. That can be a conversation for another time. And I dislocated my left knee. Thankfully, it just popped out of place and came right back in. But that fucked up my roller derby career and definitely put a lot of fear in my body. Through a lot of different things that it ties in there a little bit, I just started exploring meditation and more like getting curious about this connection we do or don't have with the universe at this time. The end of 2013, going into 2014, fell in love again. Fall in love easy, guys. I really do. It's something I've learned about myself. I had my first real roller derby season, which, due to my injury, and I mean, at this time, I knew that I was leaving in June to go travel, and I had told my team that, so I was honest with them, and I just didn't get a lot of play time in my roller derby season, which was totally fine. So I was also cultivating like a minimalist type lifestyle and interests here because I was trying to sell as much of my shit and downsize as much of my shit as possible to be able to travel because I just wanted to sell my shit and travel for as long as possible. I'd kind of like made a pact with myself that if my long-term partner and I had ever split, that was like my plan of what I was going to do. But I guess, I mean, I was 23. I didn't think that I any reason why I'd actually want to leave my long-term partnership at that time, but then it just naturally came together as more or less a mutual breakup, even though he initiated it. Okay, we're in 2014. I left to go start my travels in 2014. So that ended up being a 9 month excursion through Mexico and Central America. And like I said, I fell in love at the beginning of that year. That lover did end up coming down and traveling with me for like the majority of the time. I think I flew out in August and they flew down in October to meet up with me. So, you know, it was just kind of like this dreamy lifestyle of love and partying and exotic living. And that was how the rest of 2014 played out. And then into 2015, it was like the first day of 2015, We were doing some cave jumping excursion in Guatemala, and I fully dislocated my left shoulder for the first time. Somebody gave me a, I think it was like a Percocet, or maybe it was a Xanax, some sort of muscle relaxer, pain reliever. And I took that, and I just felt so weird and so not myself that I decided to like totally swear off pharmaceuticals at that point. I was like, no, I'm just not doing that shit. I'm not doing it. I don't need it. It doesn't make me feel good. I'm going all natural. So I like truly have not taken like any kind of NSAIDs since January 2015, which is kind of crazy. That was 5 fucking years ago. That March, even though I was just recovering from my shoulder dislocation, I enrolled into my 200-hour yoga teacher training that was in Puerto Viejo, Costa Rica, in a nature reserve of Costa Rica for 3 weeks straight. Obviously, lots of epiphanies, lots of things going on there. And then let's see, that April, the just right after the yoga teacher training, travels ended, went home, kind of regrouped. I like literally relationship hopped unintentionally, which is just so funny to think about. I literally told the partner that I had been traveling with, the lover that I had, I was like, I just want to do me. I want to figure out my own life. I just really feel called to be doing my own thing. And then I went and fell in love immediately with an old friend, and I got into that relationship. And oh man, it's just crazy to see the way life takes us sometimes. So, relationship hopped mid 2015. My big travel excursion ended, but then I ended up going to Thailand for 3 weeks with some friends, and then I went down to California and lived in a tent for 5 weeks with my new partner and old friend, and then we road tripped around for like 2 to 3 weeks. And it was that November 2015 where I had my last episode of drinking, and I was like, the only way I can live with myself is if I walk away from this right now. So I did. I quit drinking in November 2015, and for me, it was just a cold turkey type situation. I do have some highlights about that on my Instagram if you want to know more, and you can always hit me up and I can do a full episode later. Coming into 2016, all right, I moved in with this new partner and friend of mine in my hometown. Back in my hometown, we got done traveling around in California and doing our thing. We came back for the holidays. We were just spending all this time together. He was living at his parents, I was living at my grandparents. We were like, okay, let's move in together. It was that February that I actually started Beachbody coaching, which was crazy. It's just a crazy ride, for a lot of different reasons. But that is when I really started to put myself out there in social media and really intentionally started cultivating like an online type of community, even though I do not appreciate the way that I was taught how to do it with no boundaries or anything like that. But you know, everything happens in its due time and for its reasons, and I came around to learning a different way. So yes, Beachbody coaching. I even went to the Coach Summit in Nashville that summer. Oh my gosh, which is just crazy. I also started learning about moon gatherings. I even tried to host one of my own, which was just like me and two other girls that I love these girls so much. But yeah, it was just like I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was just trying to feel more into my spiritual side, which is really funny to think about because I'm just telling you all right now, and I know that I will cover this a lot as we get more into stuff in the podcast, but it's like the beginning of the spiritual journey and even cultivating a relationship with yourself, it just feels so fucking awkward. And so, yeah, that's how I remember all of that time being for me. But anyway, my culture shock from returning home that previous summer was still with me, definitely in 2016. And it kind of just faded into anxiety. And I have never fully experienced anxiety in my life, except for this like year time frame between 2016 and 2017 that I did. And it's wild to think about, but I'm glad, I'm grateful that I've had that opportunity, because for so long I felt like I couldn't help people because I had never experienced anxiety. And then I was like, oh wait, yeah, I did. And it's crippling. So by the end of 2016, I dipped out of my Beachbody experience. That kind of ended up being like a series of events type thing too. And I actually have a really great, I think, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I mean, I took a lot of time and resources and energy to write up an article of why I decided to move away from Beachbody, and that is on my website. So you can kind of search on the blog for that if you want to get back into some archives. 2017 rolls around. Beginning of 2017, I enrolled into my nutrition school at the Nutritional Therapy Association. I convinced my partner to move to Portland. I just like was convinced that I needed to move down there. We ended up moving in May, and he got a job in the Forest Service. So we did 6 months of long distance in our relationship. The summer 2017 was also the first year that I went out to New York via my doctor and mentor that I had mentioned that I started working with in 2012. He was like, oh, you think you want to do retreats? Well, you have to go out to this place in New York where he's been going for over a decade. And it's called the Body Mind Restoration Retreats in Ithaca, New York. And I am a staff member there during the summer. And it is a very special place. It was also my first year of working at the house chef and nutritionist at the annual Syncadia yoga retreat that I have been teaching at, or not teaching, cooking at since. So feel very grateful to both of those places for those opportunities. In that summer, fall of November 2017 is when I graduated as a functional nutritionist via the Nutritional Therapy Association. Between there, as I had mentioned with the anxiety, it really was both 2017 was really a peak of my anxiety, and also where I really started to dive deeper into my spirituality, and Gabby Bernstein's books especially really were a guiding light for me during this time. And I remember 2017 was also the year that I first wrote a tiny note to my inner guide via some guidance in Gabby's books. And I just remember being like, I do not know what I'm doing. I don't know how to ask for guidance or for help, but like, I want to open up this portal and I want to go in, and I'm going to do it. Also, as a little treat, I was supposed to go to Bali after graduation at the end of November, but that was the year that they had the volcano erupted in Bali, and our flight got canceled literally the night before we were supposed to leave. And so that was kind of crazy, but I feel like I handled it real well, and because I just feel like if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And so now I'm like, when am I meant to go to Bali? Because that would be dope. But we ended up going to Cancun, flying into Cancun, which is cool because that's a part of Mexico I didn't end up traveling in at all when I had traveled there previously. So we traveled down the Yucatan coast into Belize and into Guatemala, and I actually did revisit a lot of places that I had been in Belize and Guatemala, and that felt really special. And then also got to go to some extra places and brought in the new year at Lake Atitlan in Guatemala, which was super duper special because it's like, I just remember sitting on the dock and all of these fireworks around the lake. It was just like such a magical in the spiritual sense, deeply spiritual place. It was really dope. So we come back, and 2018 was just kind of like a lot of shakeup. So was 2019, but we come back from our trip to Cancun. My roommate was like, I don't really want to live together anymore, various reasons, and so we decided to split ways. I decided that I wanted to, that I needed to get a job. Like, I couldn't just be trying to figure out, like, doing my coaching with nutrition and stuff. I, like, actually needed to put myself out there and make a regular income. So I tried personal training again. I was like, no, this boat has sailed. And so that's when I ended up actually finding my a perfect, amazing part-time job at Cultured Caveman, and that was just such a great time in my life. Other things that happened in 2018, so my partner and I moved out of the house we were living in with my friend, and we moved into our own little tiny apartment just a mile or two up the street, which was great. And that was a really special little place. I really loved that apartment. Gents, our little Ginter kitten, showed up on our doorstep that summer. I believe it was July, and he was just like a ball of lessons and non-attachment, which, like, the cutest little guy ever. I know that there are people out there that remember this, but he was just like a little baby Siamese kitten. And I think I still have the video up on my YouTube that talks about, like, the crazy series of events of how we got him and how, like, he was taken away and then he was brought back, and then there was an opportunity for him to get taken away again if we didn't want to keep him because we weren't sure. And oh my gosh, just yeah, he was just the cutest and the best. So the biggest thing that happened for me in 2018 is that I had this huge epiphany. It's when I had my huge epiphany about needing to release my fucking grip and start trusting the universe. I, like, realizing that I had taken so many years to cultivate all these tools for myself, and it was time for me to start trusting. And in that trust is when I found that, oh yeah, actually things do flow. And things aren't just gonna go crazy haywire and off the rails. Like, no, I'm gonna stick to my shit because I know that I wanna show up and I wanna take care of myself and I wanna get shit done. And that's also, like, simultaneously, it's just like self-care, that showing up for myself and learning to trust and let go and let things flow. Ooh, we could make a rhyme about it. That's when the self-care brand really began to stick and unfold, which I'm insanely grateful for. And 2018 was also filled with lots of big talks, really trying to figure out my life purpose. Does it align with my partner? Things like that, which I am so grateful that he is was very open to talking about all of that stuff and having great communication, really working so hard on ourselves. And then 2019, which is the year we just finished up, came along, and I ended up doing a camp counselor type situation at a adult camp called Compassion Camp that was in Salem, Oregon. And this was also an insanely crazy synchronistic mashup of meeting people here. I just did an interview with the co-founder and my friend Alyssa Donato over on her Coming Home podcast. So I'll have to link to that interview because we talk all about, like, how I met her and how Compassion Camp just imploded everyone's hearts. But basically, in Compassion Camp, I realized that, like, it was a weekend where I was able to just live to my fullest, highest potential, all bubbly, all wild and giggles, and just, like, be received with love, so much love and, like, abundance and more laughter and such beauty. But it made me realize, like, yo, you're not living in this every day. Why? And my intuition was just, like, screaming at me, like, things have got to change. Like, you got to do something. And that's when I came back from camp at the end of March, and I had that big, heavy, hard conversation with my partner that I just didn't feel like my needs were being met. And, you know, it was a long time coming for both of us. And so we broke things off, agreed that it was a mutual breakup, and everything just changed so fast from there. They moved out by the next weekend. My friend Amber moved in with me. And, like, it was basically just like 2 months of crazy girl bliss type time. Again, being an Enneagram 7, I am not a type of person that likes to feel pain and distraction, and I am really proud of myself for the ways that I actually let myself sit in the discomfort of having a new lifestyle, even though it felt in some ways like something that I was ready for. So I do remember oftentimes it was like I'd be in the middle of doing something and then I would just break down. Like a song would come on, even if it was a song I didn't know. It was like the vibe of this song, and I just have to like suddenly sit down and just like cry and really let myself cry fully and experience that. And I'm really proud of myself for being able to support myself in that way, because I've never been able to do that at any other time in my life. And I really feel like in its own way, 2019 really was me coming back to myself, learning how to support myself in a lot of really, really deep ways. It was like absolutely a insane deepening of my intuition, and synchronicities and my trust in the universe and all of this. Just big stuff. But then in May, there was like a series of events with my family and my grandparents who raised me, ended up moving into assisted living, and I was like, I'm moving home. I remember sitting down with my aunt, who is just like works for the postal service, and she is so close to retirement but just can't retire, and she is so stressed out and working so hard. And I remember just sitting down with her and being like, would it help you if I moved home and helped like support and be here? And I saw the relief in her face, and she was like, I would never ask you to do that. And I was like, you don't have to, like, you don't have to ask me, I'm doing it. And then just being met with all the amazing love and support in that realm of, you know, people telling me like, you will never regret spending time with family, you will never regret this. And I just gotta say, like, it feels good. I feel like I am exactly where I am meant to be. And yeah, it's also, you know, super reclusive. It's a place of solitude. It's a bit of a connection with old friends, which is really great, but it's also me realizing, like, oh shit, like, I am really digging into some, like, habits and tendencies and boundaries and doing my own inner child work and forgiveness practices, and like I'm going deep within myself. And I think that's what has really allowed me to start coming out of the end of 2019 feeling just fucking ready to do this podcast, to have more interviews, to do more speaking engagements, to be working with one-on-one clients again, because I have like re-engaged with myself to be able to hold this space of deep healing, and I'm really excited for the opportunity to guide others on their own path of where they're at. And I guess that's where we're at. That's where we are at now in 2020, going into the new year. So I hope you enjoyed that recap of the last year. Now I have it for my own stuff, my own files, I cannot think of the word. Oh well. So I want to leave you with just a couple things. My core values, first of all, because I talk about them a bit here and there, but just in general, going in, because it's really important to be able to find your core values and be able to determine what they are, because they end up being kind of a compass and a guiding light for you. And like, what do you or don't you have time for in your life when you know that on a deep level, this is what your life revolves around? And so for me, I think that like the big umbrella is trust, and being able to have trust in the universe and in others and within myself, especially. And I just realize this year, coming into this year, I'm like, oh shit, it's going to be a year of trust, like all of this again. So trust is always with me. It could be faith. Interesting. All of a sudden I'm like, ooh, is that interchangeable? The word faith is triggering for me. I will say that for sure, because I didn't go into my childhood in that 10 year timeline. But I was raised between a Mormon family and a Christian family, and so faith and religion just sounds too religious. But having faith in the universe, trusting in the universe, I mean, it's essentially the same thing. Words are funny. So this big blanket of trust, and then within this trust, my core values revolve around joy, like having big, uncontainable, just like laughter, happiness, like pure, deep, genuine joy, which, caveat here, you honestly cannot experience joy if you are not working through your shit, because you have to be able to also experience negative emotions and discomfort and grief and sorrow and just all different levels of fear to be able to tap into joy. And that's part of what I teach and educate on in the self-care lifestyle. But joy is a huge core value for me. I love joy. And then authenticity, being my authentic self, I like literally physically am unable to not be myself. I'm definitely like pretty much physically unable of lying. There's that new movie out, Knives Out, that's like the remake of Clue or whatever, and there's a girl in there that she like physically can't lie. She throws up if she lies, and I feel like I'm pretty damn close to that. Like I have to genuinely be myself, my most authentic self. I can't like put and it, but also you got to take that with a grain of salt a bit, because it's like I am a Pisces ENFP Enneagram 7, so I'm a fucking profesh shapeshifter over here, y'all. But it's also takes a lot of being a natural shapeshifter that just comes with my personality. I to be my authentic self, I have also had to spend time stripping myself of all of these different identities that I've created for myself, for how I show up for others. And that's really the question that continues to plague me, that I remember plaguing me as a child, is like, who am I? How do we know who we really are? Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? I always think of the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland. But authenticity is just being authentic, being real, being yourself. That is like so deep, hard-hitting for me. And then connection, of course, like real, genuine human connection, as well as like going out in nature and realizing, like, holy shit, I am so big and so tiny, and the roots of trees actually go underground and connect just like fucking an avatar, and the shit is crazy. Everything is connected. Big scale, little scale, macrocosms, microcosms. Like, I am all out on that connection. But usually when I talk about connection, I'm talking about like a real human connection, getting to know people, wanting to be together and just like form real relationships. And then coming back to that ease, which my friend Amber, hi Amber, because I know you're listening. I know she was the one that introduced me to this idea of ease and remembering that that is how life flows. Life flows easefully when we are on our life's path, and when it's not flowing and when there are roadblocks and things like this come up, it's an opportunity to be like, okay, like where am I tripping myself up? But just remembering the ease of life and letting things, I mean, a lot of it is like, where are you not letting things flow, essentially? Where are you building rocks in your river? Because shit is just meant to flow. So those are my core values. I know this episode is quite, I mean, a lot of podcast episodes, I guess, are between 1 and 2 or even 3 hours. Cough, Joe Rogan. most of these episodes of mine are going to be about 30 to 45 minutes, just so you know, in that ballpark. I want them to be short, quick, actionable things, giving you a little bit of a background. Also, of course, with every episode on, like, you know, how I came about it, my own personal anecdotes. But I want you to ask as many questions as you want, hit me up. Tell me what you liked about this episode or what you could care less about. If you actually want to know about certain pieces more of my life or my background, feel free to hit me up about that as well. just a reminder that there is a form on my website where you can go. It's completely free. It's just a Google Doc. There's a button that takes you straight there. You don't have to include your name or anything if you don't want to, but if you do, I'll give you a shout out here on the podcast. But ask me questions. I'm literally making a list of all of the stuff that you guys want to know, and it's okay if it's about me. It's okay if it's not. Whatever it is, though, this podcast is literally entirely determined by what you want to hear. And I'm excited about that because it's like I'm giving you what you want and you're telling me what to do, and it just helps everything flow. And there we go, having that ease again. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just tickled to death that you're here. I'm tickled to death that this is happening and we're doing the shit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Virtual hugs or high fives all around. Sending you so much love. Talk to you soon. I just want to take a quick moment to sincerely thank you for tuning in today. It really means the world to me that you are here supporting me, listening to what I have to say, and I sincerely hope that it finds you well and helps you wherever you're at in your life. And if you're ever wondering what other kind of stuff I have to offer you, you can check out my free resources or my paid offerings, both available on my website, www.selfcarecreature.com. And if you're looking for another simple and free way to support my business, because woo, small business, you can simply leave a review for the podcast, or even easier, take a screenshot right now and post it and tag me on Instagram. That is the easiest way, and it just builds community, builds connection. I will be able to see it and connect with you then. Thank you for taking the time to do that. Thanks for being here. Cheers.